Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be Daf Kuf Samach Tes. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our sugya begins with a quote from a Tanaic source that appeared at the end of the previous Amid, at the end of Kuf Samach Ches Amid Beis. The source that appeared over there was discussing the issue of someone coming forth and claiming that he lost his document. The source was discussed different types of documents. Documents indicating a loan had been extended, and documents indicating one purchased property. The source mentioned that when dealing with purchased property, if the new owner came and claimed that he lost his document, his deed, then according to the first opinion, the Tanakama, we will prepare a new shtar for him, a new document, a new title. However, we will not include the guarantee that ordinarily accompanies such purchases. With that, we open up our Gemara on the fifth line from the top, Kuf Samach Tes Omer Aleph, Omar Mar, Chutz Me'achrayas Shebo. The deed is rewritten, a replacement title to property is rewritten, without the achrais, without the guarantee that usually is included. My taimo, the Gemara asks, why is it that such a section is left out? Omar of Safra, lefi she'ein koisvin shnei shtorois al sode achas, because we don't write two documents of title on one field, and the Gemara will go on to explain itself, but before we go further, it's necessary to introduce some of our markings. Rav Safra begins a long answer responding to the question of why do we not include a guarantee in the replacement document. This long answer is indicated by the tuf that you see encircled in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line indicating all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical line are part of the answer. We've also included a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. The house form that we're about to see in the Gemara indicates shnei shlavim, two stages. The Gemara asked a question. In order to answer the question of why is the guarantee left out, we'll go through two stages. And we also have a double underline. The two stages, and the double underline is also one of our series indicators. Lasbir lomo ein koisvin shnei shtaros al sode echad. To explain why is it that we don't write two title documents on one field. The first answer that is provided here is going to emphasize the case or the scenario of a creditor that comes to collect property from those that purchased from the one who owed him the money. The second approach, which you can see more than halfway down with the aid of the geometric forms, where the house form appears again with a number 2 indicated in the space in the right hand side of the Gemara text indicating the second stage, and we'll emphasize the expression mikoach avose, which, unlike the current approach, the first approach, which involves a balchov, a creditor coming to collect from purchasers, there we will be discussing a purchaser that bought land from someone who was claimed to be a thief, whereby you have a person, a previous owner, the Nigzal, from whom it was stolen, and the purchaser, who is now losing his field to the original Nigzal. Going back to the flow of our Gemara, Rav Safra opened up by saying that we don't write two title deeds to one piece of property. The Gemara goes on, Dilma Ozil Balchov Torif Le Lahai. We're afraid that a creditor will come to the purchaser, namely the one who purchased the property from the individual who owed this creditor money, the creditor having a lien on all of the borrower's properties, will go to someone who purchased the property after the loan was extended, the Ozil Hai, and then the purchaser will go in order to seek compensation for the property he just lost to that creditor, Umapik Chad Vitorif Lukuchos. He will pull out one, namely one of those shtoros. He'll pull out the new document that was prepared for him now and collect from one of the later purchasers. In other words, you have this fellow who purchased from the borrower, and then you have those that purchased after him. As such, if he has a document with a guarantee in it, that will entitle him to collect from one of the later purchasers. And the story goes on. The Omar Lei, and this Lokeach, this first purchaser, will then turn to the Balchov, Le Balchov, the Omar Lei Le Balchov. He will turn to the original creditor and make a deal with him. The term Kenunya is used in the Rashbam, a conspiracy. And he'll say to the creditor as follows, you know, you took away a piece of property to me that really was owed to you because you had a lien on it. Let me go back to that property and work it for a while, for a few years, until things quiet down, and then come and take the property again away from me. A second taking. And when you take it again away from me, you know what I'll do? I'll go to another one of the subsequent purchasers, namely another one of those that bought land from the borrower after I bought from him, and I will stake a claim on his purchase, on his property, claiming that, being that I lost my property to you, I have first claim on the property that he bought. Let's read this inside. As we said, the purchaser will say to the creditor, Shof li. Shof means, let's keep things quiet. De ekum bo, that I shall stand in the property, the original property that you took away from me, and stand in it and cultivate it and use it, and all without your protesting. In other words, we'll conspire in this together. Vahadar ta tirpan. And then I will go and collect again. Umapik achrina. Let us just translate a little more accurately. Vahadar ta tirpan means, and then you shall come and collect the property again from me. And upon the original creditor collecting from this first purchaser the property again, Umapik achrina, I will then take out another shtar, the old title to the property, the original one, the one that I had claimed was lost. Vahadar ezil toref lukucho sachrini, and then I will go and collect from other purchasers. So in the course of this whole scheme, what has happened is, after the creditor collected the original property that he had a lien on, this purchaser collected from two subsequent purchasers in order to seek his compensation, when after the first collection he would have received what was due to him. How did all of this happen? This all happened because the lokeach, this purchaser, had two titles to the same property. And that's why we don't want to have two shtoros al soda achas prepared. The Gemara asks a question, it's a long question. How can this whole scenario unravel? V'kevon dekarane l'shtora demalve. When the original creditor came to collect the property from that first purchaser, the first purchaser, namely the one who bought from the borrower, and as a result of his buying from the borrower, the original creditor had a lien on that property. The creditor came and collected that property. At the point that he collected from the property, we tore up his shtar, the shtar of debt. So once we tear up his shtar of debt, his document indicating that money was owed to him because he just collected his compensation, b'may hodar torif lo, in the conspiracy approach we mentioned above, on what grounds is the malveh, is that Baal Chov, coming to collect from the lokeach a second time? He doesn't have the instrument with which to make that collection. And if you say that that shtar was never torn up, the Ha'omar Rav Nachman teaches the following series of rules regarding property collection. The series is indicated by the diamond that you see in the text. This introduces or highlights three different types of court instruments that are involved with collection of property. And the first one of these, and the rule that accompanies it, is as follows. Rav Nachman said, Kol tirpa, dolo kosiv bei karane lishtora damalve. Any tirpa document. Tirpa is a collection document. It's a means of which the collection of property can be made. What we should do is we look in the Rashbam and see toward the end of the narrow lines his explanation. V'omer Rav Nachman, kachu haseder, malve bala beisdin v'tsoek al haloive, shiyifa lo chovo, umazmininun lei lalova bedina. The creditor comes asking the bar to pay up his debt and comes screaming and inviting him to face him in court. And if he doesn't come, if the borrower does not appear, we excommunicate him. And a shtar tirpa is prepared, enabling the malva, the creditor, to go and seek out properties that are owned by the borrower. Wherever the creditor finds properties in the possession of the borrower, or he finds properties in the possession of purchasers that bought after the loan was extended, he then will show his shtar tirpa to the bezin in that city, and they will entitle him to take possession of the properties that were originally owned by the borrower. And then another shtar is prepared. We will get back to the continuation of the Rashbam later. The question being is that a person who comes to make a property collection, there has to be an indication in that document entitling him to make a property collection that the original bill of debt was torn up. That's the rule we just saw stated by Rav Nachman. namely Kol Tirpa. We'll read that again. The first diamond, Kol Tirpa Dolo Kosiv Be Karane Lishtara Damalve, Lav Tirpa Hi, Lav Tirpa Hu. Any Tirpa document that is not indicated in it that the original bill of debt was torn up has no validity. That being the case, how can the creditor, if he doesn't have a shtar halvah anymore, because it was torn up, how can he make that second collection from the lokeach? So the whole conspiracy thing doesn't get started. We have a brackets around the next three lines, even though the series of court documents continues, the reason being that the basic question that Rav Nachman posed already came to an end. We've indicated on the inside margin of the Gemara, Tam Lesograyim, the reason for these brackets is Laharois the Ikra Kushi Histayim Lefnehem, to show that the basic question concluded before these brackets. Within the brackets will be more details concerning documents that are associated with collections. The question being, why is it that two shtoros are not prepared over the same piece of property, two titles of ownership? Why are they not prepared? If it's because of the conspiracy that we tried to demonstrate above, but the second stage, namely the collection from a second purchaser, can't get started because the shtar of the malve would have been torn up. Therefore, the Gemara comes to the second stage in explaining or in answering that question, and it says here, after the brackets, lo tzricha, Dekaosi mikayach avosei. This is a new conspiracy issue, but it doesn't involve a creditor collecting from a borrower. Hence, the issue of the second collection being thwarted doesn't get started. Hence, a second collection can take place. So, what's the case over here? It's a case where a fellow purchased property from a seller. So we have a lokeach, a purchaser, confronting someone coming to court screaming that the seller of that property was a thief and that it belonged to my forefathers and I am the legitimate heir to it. We'll refer to him as the nigzal, the one who lost his property, victim of thievery. The nigzal, in this new scenario, comes and takes the property away from the lokeach. If the lokeach would have two titles of ownership, the following conspiracy can take place. The lokeach, the purchaser, having lost his property on one occasion to the nigzal, this lokeach turns to subsequent purchasers, namely people who purchased other properties from the one who sold to him, the seller, who we can also term the thief. The first lokeach can turn to them and say, I bought property with a guarantee, and since I lost it, I have first crack at the property you bought, and hence he repossesses the property of the second purchaser. The first lokeach may conspire with the original nigzal, the fellow who claimed ownership of it through inheritance, and says to him, listen, let me, namely the first lokeach, cultivate the property for a couple years, don't say anything, then come and recollect it for me. Then I'll whip out my second title of ownership and collect from other purchasers, from other subsequent purchasers. And with that, I will have collected, in effect, two fields when I should have been entitled to collect only one. Hence, we preempt this from happening by stating a rule that even though we may prepare a replacement document of ownership, but we will not prepare the replacement document with a guarantee in it. Hence, lacking a guarantee, this original purchaser will have no means of making a second collection. We skipped a few lines in the reading, and that is because the continuation of the section in the brackets was not directly relevant to the question that was being asked, but it's a completion of Rav Nachman's set of rules concerning documents for collection purposes. So what we will do is continue with the Gemara in the brackets, and after that, turn to the Rashbam, where we left off in that particular Dibura Maschil, to see the explanation. So the Gemara, back in the bracketed section, says, V'chol adrachta delo ksiv be karane letirpo. Any adrachta document that doesn't have stated in it that we tore up the tirpo document, lav adrachtahu, it is not a legitimate adrachta. V'chol shuma delo ksiv be karane adrachta, and any shuma document, which is a subsequent document to the adrachta one, if in the shuma document there is no statement of Karane Ladrachta Lav Shuma, he wouldn't be a legitimate Shuma document. What is the role of each one of these documents? So what we do now is look into the Rashbam, the second line under the Gemara text, where you see a number 2 written in. The Rashbam continues his explanation after having discovered what the Tirpa document was, namely the document entitling the creditor to seek out where the borrower has properties. V'chol mokoim shiimtza minechosov, the Rashbam continues, wherever we find property of the creditor, of the borrower, o milekucho shekonumena, or people that bought from the borrower, achrichein, after the original loan was extended, Yaresh Doro LeBezdin, the creditor can show his Tirpa document to Bezdin, Shel Oysoir, wherever he finds the properties, V'yimsu lo kakoysev lemalve, V'yichtvu lo shtar adrachta. And they will entitle the creditor to take possession, eventually, of those properties, and write for him a document called adrachta, Shehe Sholit V'dorech al nechosef shozeh, giving him rule over the properties and the right to dorech, to trample, hence the word adrachta, which has as its root the word dorech, to trample, to walk over the properties, sholzet, ligvos chovo, in order to collect his debt, mehen, from those properties. Kedem Mefarsh Gozel Basra has explained it toward the end of Bava Kama. Ushtar atirpo, the original shtar tirpo that the malva had, Yikra'u, we tear that up, pen yachzer v'yitro v'beizin achir, so that he doesn't try to use that document in another beizdin to repeat a collection process. V'yoshumu hanechosim kedin shumas beizdin. After he has this adrachta document, then an evaluation of the value of the property is made, kedin shumas beizdin, kemeforsh b'vakama, according to the rules of court evaluation, as are explained there in that Maseches, ukfi hashuma yikochein bechovo, and according to the evaluation, the assessment of the property value, thusly the malva, the creditor, will take it in payment of his debt. In other words, we're going to seek a relationship between the value of the properties and the amount of his debt. V'yichtevu lo beizin shtar shumas hanechosim lodas b'kama kiblaim. And then the beizin prepares a written assessment of the value of the property to know according to what standard, to what value the properties were that he collected. U'mishum deshuma hodro li'olam. And since there's a rule that properties collected in payment of a debt can actually be reversed forever, kishei lo mos lovo, when the borrower comes up with cash, kidamrinan b'bova metziah, Ukshiyitnu lo Beisdin Shtar Hashuma, when the court gives the creditor this document of evaluation of assessment, Yikru Hadrachta, the Adrachta document is torn up, Pen Yachzer Yitrov Bohem Pam Shniyot Shelo Kedin, so as to prevent a second collection illegally from taking place. As a result of this particular piece of Gemara, we saw already that the question of a second collection taking place by virtue of a malve, a creditor taking property away from a purchaser on two occasions, is not something that can get started. So the Gemara therefore sought a second explanation why we don't write a replacement document, or why we, more accurately, why we write a replacement document indicating ownership but leaving out the guarantee. So we explained already that was the case of the Ka'osi Mikoyah Havose, involving a purchaser and one who, in other words, a purchaser who bought from a thief, who this purchaser lost property to the benefit of the original owner. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Lei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina, Falomo Lei Lememar Lei Labal Chov, why in our original explanation was it necessary for the purchaser to say to the original creditor, Shofli Bahai Arav Ekumba, let me occupy the property for a while without your protesting, and then come and make a second collection? Why was that whole stage necessary in order to create the fear based on which we try to answer, and that's the reason we don't write a second title of ownership with a guarantee? Tepukle, why not simply say the kevon denokit tre shtari, since the purchaser would have two titles of ownership, tarif of hoda tarif, he'll simply make a double collection. He'll collect from one subsequent purchaser and a second subsequent purchaser. Why is that itself not sufficient grounds for our fear, and hence the rule not to prepare a replacement document with a guarantee in it? The Gemara says that would have been an unreasonable scenario, or an unreasonable grounds for suspicion. Im kain nefishiole bale dinim. If that would have been the scenario, he, the purchaser, in trying to make his second collection, probably would have been caught because of nefishi. There is an increase of bale dinim, of litigants. In other words, when someone, in other words, the lokeach comes to make a collection and then a second collection, it's going to arouse a lot of legal concern and legal activity on the part of those subsequent purchasers, wondering why are they losing their properties. And when they start researching the matter, they'll discover that the lokeach already received compensation when he collected the first property from subsequent purchaser number one, and never really be able to collect a second time, even if he had a second document. So that is the explanation why the scenario described above involved a period of quiet, where the purchaser who bought from the borrower requested of the original creditor, let me go back to the property that you took and cultivate again, and then come back later after things quiet down and make a second collection for me, thereby enabling me to turn to other subsequent purchasers, and hence all of the problem. The Gemara turns to the Mishnah here and asks with a question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that we will write a replacement document. In other words, we can allow a replacement document to be written. Let me just correct an inaccuracy. We spoke about a Mishnah, we should refer to it as a Tanaic source, where we saw the Tanaic source indicating the possibility of writing a replacement title of ownership but leaving out the guarantee part. It would have been possible, the Gemara will ask, to write a perfectly complete title of ownership with a guarantee in it, and write a receipt to the seller that would say that any other, in other words, in this case, the supposed lost title, any other title of ownership that is taken out against me is void, except for the one that we're writing today. So that even if there exist two titles of ownership with guarantees in them, the original seller would be holding on to a receipt, a shovar, indicating that the only legitimate guarantee is that which is written in this replacement document. If that be the case, so then there should be no constraint upon us in preparing the replacement document with a guarantee written in it. Let's now read this question inside. V'lichtoiv lehai shtora ma'alyo. Let us write the replacement document with a guarantee in it. V'lichtoiv tavro lamocher, and write at the same time a receipt and present it to the seller with the following text. Kol shtori diapkun al arodo. Any document presented to attempt to collect because of this purchase property, psulin, are void, labar min diepuk bizmanado, except for that which is presented, written today, with today's date on it, namely the date of the replacement document, which would indicate that the only legitimate document with a guarantee that would enable collections to be made in the event that the purchaser would lose the property would be today's replacement document and not any previous titles of ownership, even if they have a guarantee in it. At this point in the markings, we notice a new geometric form. This constitutes a keep track approach. We've indicated that in our comment in the outside margin under the title Mivneh. This is a ma'akav with the narrow part of what we term the volcano marking facing upwards. This represents a question. And when the narrow part turns over, as we'll see on Amud Beis, that will present an answer. The question the Gemara will ask now, after hearing the suggestion, why don't we write a replacement title of ownership with a guarantee, and at the same time, in order to counter the possibility of a double collection with the original title of ownership that's supposedly lost, we suggested, why not write a receipt and present that to the mocher, thereby serving as protection from a double collection. Now, we know that we don't do that. That's what was suggested by the original Tanakh source, by the fact that we said we write a replacement title of ownership but leave out the guarantee. And we don't use this suggestion. So can we draw the following conclusion? The Gemara will suggest, can we conclude that based on this, that we do not write receipts? The issue of writing receipts is a broad topic, and it's debated in other Gemaras, but based on the Tanaic source that we've had, that we've been dealing with now, it would seem that we don't write receipts. Hence, the seller would have no protection, and that's the reason why we don't write the replacement title of ownership with a guarantee in it. So the question, in simple terms, is, can we conclude from here that we don't write receipts. Amrua Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Popo. V'yamri Law, another version is Kamei de Rav Ashi. We use a squiggle underline to often indicate alternatives. In this case, an alternative girsa is an alternative version of in front of whom was this stated, in front of Rav Popo. V'yamri Law, others say in front of Rav Ashi. Zosomera, should we conclude Ein Kosvin Shofar, that we do not prepare receipts? It might be important to note the reasoning behind the issue of preparing a receipt is that in general, if someone gets a shofar, he is thereby burdened with the need to watch it and to protect it, because if he loses that receipt, then he endangers himself to a subsequent second collection. So it could be that we opt out of this method of protecting individuals. Namely, we say Ein Kosvin Shofar. We don't burden them with watching it. And as a result of that, the only way for collection or for payment ever to be made would be the presentation of the original bill of debt. And if the original bill of debt is not presented, so the borrower won't have to pay. The issue of receipts applies to different realms. It applies to the case of a lender and borrower, where when the borrower pays up his debt, he would get a receipt if we would choose that to say we write receipts. It applies also to the case of purchasers and sellers, whereby a purchaser, in the event that he loses his land and seeks collection from it, upon getting his collection, the one who made the payment would also get a receipt that payment was made for that particular loss. Continuing in the Gemara, therefore, the question is asked, should we conclude from our source that shovers, that receipts are not to be prepared? Omar Luhu. So Rav Ashi responds. Notice how the geometric form flipped over, the volcano form flipped over with the narrow side pointing down, and this indicates a response. Be'alma Kosvin Shofar, in general, namely in cases of lenders and borrowers where a lender of money may have lost his original document indicating his ability to collect, we will say as follows, that a replacement document can be prepared for the malve, and when the malve comes to make his collection using the replacement document, a receipt is given to the borrower indicating he paid up, and that will protect the borrower from any subsequent claims against him. V'hocha, in the case of the mekach u'memkar, in the case of the purchases, hainu taima. This is the reason that we don't write a receipt to the mocher, a receipt to the seller, whereby if we would have written a receipt for the seller, then we could have supposedly written a second title of ownership with a guarantee in it on behalf of the purchaser. So why is it that we don't write a receipt on behalf of the mocher? The Dilma Ozil Balchov Vitorif Mino de Lokeach. What we're afraid of is the following scenario, where a creditor, namely, this is a gentleman that the seller of the property in question owed money to. Our seller here is also a borrower of money. So this seller owed money to a Baal Chov. And this Baal Chov, the creditor, came and collected from the purchaser, from the fellow who bought from the borrower. In other words, the creditor had a lien on that property. He came along and collected from the lokeach, from the purchaser. The Ozil Ihu, and that first purchaser, having lost his property to the original creditor, would then turn to subsequent purchasers, v'toref lukuchos, and make a collection from subsequent purchasers, v'shovar gabi lukuchos leka. The shovar, the receipt that we discussed above, is not in their possession. Namely, when the purchaser, after losing property to the original seller, losing property because of that original seller, and he would, let us say, have turned to him and say, hey, you know, you sold me property and I lost it to your creditor, give me a replacement property. So let us say that he does. Let us then say that the lokeach rishon, this fellow who's seeking his collection, received a replacement document with a guarantee written in it that would enable him to make a second collection from subsequent purchasers. In other words, after having received compensation from the original seller, if he had a second title of ownership, he would then turn to lukuchos, to other purchasers, claiming that he has a lien on their property and collect from them. And they don't have a shovar. The shovar, as was suggested above, would have been given to the original seller alone. So the Gemara asks, even so, why not, in fact, write a second title of ownership to the first purchaser? You asked, but that will endanger subsequent purchasers from loss of property in favor of this first purchaser. Sof lekuchos lav amori the aro hadri. Would the subsequent purchaser not turn to the original seller, to the one that sold them their property? And when they turn to that seller, will they not discover that in fact he, the original seller, already paid up the first purchaser's claims, show them his shovar, and show that the first purchaser who's turning to them, to these subsequent purchasers, is doing so illegally? So the Gemara says that might be true, namely that the subsequent purchasers will turn to the original seller, investigating the issue and finding out that they really should not lose property to the first purchaser. But nevertheless, adahochi vahochi, in the meantime, in other words, by the time that the second purchasers go and research the case, after having lost the property to the first purchaser, shomit v'yochol peri, that first purchaser will enjoy the fruits of those properties that he collected illegally, and that's called gezel hane'echal, consumed goods that were stolen, that were acquired through thievery. And it's understood that it's very hard to seek compensation, to offer compensation for that type of theft. That's gezel hane'echal. So as a result of that aspect of loss, we don't want the whole scenario to get started, and hence we do not allow the replacement document to be prepared with a guarantee and rely upon the receipt that the original seller may be holding. Inami, a second reason for not allowing the replacement document of ownership to be written in with a guarantee, with the achrayas, is lelokeach shelo b'achrayas. When dealing with those subsequent purchasers that the first purchaser may turn to, but they bought without a guarantee. So what would happen? Being that they bought without a guarantee, and this first purchaser turns to them and says, hey, you know, the seller's creditor took property away from me and I have a claim against you being subsequent purchasers, And of course, we're talking about a case where the first purchaser already received his compensation because he turned to the seller and got compensation from him. When he turns to those subsequent purchasers holding that second document, if they bought without a guarantee, they're going to raise their hands in despair, realizing that they lost, and they know that since they bought without a guarantee, that's their loss. They suffer a total loss, and they're not going to go back to the mocher to investigate the situation. They're not like people who bought with a guarantee, who know that when they lose something, they're still going to research the matter in seeking their own compensation. Once they bought without a guarantee, they'll feel they lost and not check out the matter anymore. Ihachi shtorei halvo'onami. If that be the case, so in the case of shtorei halvo'o, loan documents, we said above, if a malveh, on the first line, Rav Ashi said that if a creditor claims he lost his document of loan, we will write a replacement document for him and give a shovar to the borrower, thereby protecting the borrower upon his paying up the debt, disabling a malva, a creditor, from making a second collection. But why do we do that? Is not the same scenario as just described possible to befall the Lukuchos here? Let us glance in the Rashbam, in the Rabbeinu Gershom. There's an asterisk indicating the lower part of the outside part of our page. Ihochi, in the Rabbeinu Gershom, Ihochi, Kide Ukmes, as we set it up, the kevon de lese shovar, halvo nami amai kosvin shovar. In the case of the loan, why is it that we write a receipt? V'nechush nami, let us suspect the e shapkinon lishtar gabi malveh. If we leave the replacement document with a lender, Torif Bay Lukuchos, the Shomit the Ochil Peri. He, the lender, can turn to subsequent purchasers and consume the fruits, O Torif Lukuchos Shalobachayas, or collect from those subsequent purchasers that bought without a guarantee. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of a loan, we have a lender turning to subsequent purchasers, trying to make a second collection, if you will. What's going to happen? Hasam, the Zuzi Masik, where a lender is trying to collect primarily cash. Amri, the subsequent purchasers will say to the malve, they'll say or figure, Paise Balchov Bezuzi. The purchasers will suppose that the borrower appeased, or in this case, paid off the original creditor with cash, and the purchasers will go to the loveh to check out the matter, and they'll see that the loveh, that the lender, actually paid off the debt. And this malveh, in turning to the subsequent purchasers, is doing so illegally, as opposed to hocha da'aro masik, as opposed to the case of a sale with a guarantee in it, where our case of the seller and buyer, where we did not want to have a second document with a guarantee prepared for a buyer, for the original lokeach. That original lokeach is laying claims not for cash, he's laying claims for land, because he bought land. Meida Yadi, the subsequent purchasers, know Deman demasik ara, that one who is seeking out land replacement, as was the case with the first lokeach, bezuzi lo mefayis. He's not appeased with receiving cash. Cash payment isn't going to set his mind at ease. Therefore, they, the subsequent purchasers, are not as motivated as the purchasers in the case of a loan are motivated to seek out what happened, to seek out if the original debt was actually paid up. As a result of this distinction, we say that in the case of a lender seeking a replacement document for a lost document of debt, of a loan having been extended, there a replacement document can be prepared, and we will rely on the shofar. And the reason being, because subsequent purchasers have a built-in motivation to check out what happened. In the case of a purchaser who wants to have a replacement document prepared, and there we say we do not write a shofar, that is because the subsequent purchasers, knowing that they're being sought out for compensation by someone seeking out compensation for land, they're not as motivated to check out the background, and hence we're not going to rely on the shofar that is in the hands of the mocher. And therefore, we say, in general, we may prepare receipts, but in this case, not so. Before we go on in the Gemara, the marked editions of our Gemara, the Shas Ozer, offer titles and structural notes in the outside margin. In this case, we have combined the title heading and the structural note on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. Point one is Mahu HaNusach Shtar Shein Achrayis. What is the version of the text of a document that does not have a guarantee in it? And then we're going to notice two diamond names later on. These are Shnei Deos Im Nitan Lahasik Misugyosenu, two opinions as to whether we can conclude from our sugya, from our Gemara discussion, Achrayis Toi Sofer, the absence of a guarantee, is that merely an oversight on the part of the scribe, or is the absence of a guarantee a deliberate deletion? Omamar, Chutz Min Ho Achrayis Sheboi. In the Tanaic source that we saw at the bottom of Kuf Samaches Omebeis, you can find that by finding a corresponding star, as we have over here in to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a Kuf Samach Ches Omed Beis notation, you will see the parallel star on that particular Omed at the bottom of the Omed, from where this quote is coming from. So Omar Mar, this being a quote from the previous Tanaic source on Kuf Samach Ches Omed Beis, Chutz Minu Achrayis Shebo, that a replacement document is made for a purchaser of land without including the guarantee. Heichi kasvinon. So how is it to be formulated? Omar of Nachmon, de kasvi hochi. The following text is written. Three-line quote. Shtora denon, this document, the lo lemigvi bay, is prepared without the power of collection. Lo mi meshabdi, velo mi bnei chori. Not to collect from purchasers, nor to collect from property currently held by the seller. The only reason for preparing this replacement document is so as to discourage protesters from claiming ownership to it. So that it tekum aro, so that the land is established biyodei delokeach in the hands of this purchaser. However, once again, this purchaser holding this document, or based on this document alone, will not be able to make subsequent land claims in the event that he loses the property. Omar Rafram, Zosomeris, from that which Rav Nachman teaches, that you have to state explicitly in the shtar that the shtar being prepared has no collection power. In the absence of such a comment, we could conclude that achrayus toi soferhu, that the absence of a guarantee is merely an oversight, but a stam shtar, an unqualified type document, has a built-in guarantee understood. And why is that? Taima dekosav lehochi, the reason that we're saying that he does not have guarantee powers with the document, because it was stated explicitly that it lacks guarantee powers. Holo kosav lehochi, govi, if there wasn't some type of explicit disclaimer in it, in the document, he would, govi means he would be able to make collections with it. So that if someone had a document indicating title of ownership to a particular piece of property, even though no mention of a guarantee is written in it, if on occasion the purchaser of that property would lose it to some type of original creditor, he would be able to take his shtar and collect and seek compensation from the one who sold him the property, or possibly from subsequent purchasers. Rav Ashi, Omar, Rav Ashi takes an opposite approach. Achrayas lav toi sofer hu. The absence of a guarantee written in a document is deliberate. Hence, a document of ownership lacking a guarantee, the owner has no guarantee. He cannot seek compensation if he should lose the property. Umay chutz me'achrayas sheboi. So what's the explanation of the Tanaic source that said we write a replacement document with the exception of the guarantee? It means very simply, delo ksiv be achrayas, that you do not actively write in a guarantee. So if you don't actively write in a guarantee, according to Rav Ashi, it has no guarantee powers, because achrayas lav tol sofer, because the skipping of the achrayas is not a function of a mistake, but rather it's deliberate. It's not a toy sofer, it's rather deliberate. And hence, it would not have any guarantee powers. So we see a machlokas between Rafram and Rav Ashi, how to understand from our source whether the absence of a guarantee in a document is considered deliberate or an oversight. If it's considered deliberate, a document lacking a guarantee would have no guarantee powers. If you say it's an oversight, then the opposite is the case. A document without a guarantee written in it still does have guarantee powers. Hahi itso diavo le zuzi lahu gavro le mizvan lo ara. It was a woman that gave money to a man to buy for her a piece of land. Ozal Zovan Lo Shelo Bachrayas. He went ahead and made a purchase without a guarantee being written in the title. Asyo Lekame Rav Nachman. The case came to Rav Nachman. Omale, Rav Nachman says, Niskuni Shadartich Velo Lavisi. The woman can claim, I sent you for my benefit and not for my ruination. In other words, when I sent you to buy for me a piece of property, I intended for you to make sure that it was a purchase with a guarantee. Therefore, Rav Nachman continues, Zil Zavno Minei Shelo Bachrayas Vahodar Zavno Nihalo Beachrayas. You, the Shaliach, should buy the property from the seller without a guarantee and resell it to her, to the woman who sent you, with a guarantee. The Rashbam underneath the Tosfos says, on the first of the widest lines, Zil Zavnei Min HaMocher, you, the Shaliach, should go buy the property from the seller, Shelo Bachrayas, Uksov Hashtar B'Shimcha, and have the title of property written in your name, V'Achakach Mechor Es HaKarka La'Isha B'Achrayas, and then, after you becoming the owner of the land, you, in fact, not having a guarantee, but then you sell that land to the woman with a guarantee. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hanose Matono Lachavero, Vehichsir Lo Es Hashtar, Chozro Matonoso. A person who gave a piece of land through a shtar matona to a receiver of the gift, if the receiver of the gift gives back that shtar, so that also reverses the gift. The Chachomim Omrim Matanoso Kayemes. The Chachomim ruled that the original gift stands. In other words, the mere return of the shtar matona does not constitute a return of the subject of the gift. This, of course, is a Dibur HaMasa, we should have noted, from the Tanaic source that was found at the upper part, the top of Kuf, of Omid Aleph, of our Daf. My time, other Rav Shimon Gamliel. What is the reasoning behind Rav Shimon Gamliel that says that by giving back the shtar to the one that gave this matona, that isn't a reversal of the gift? We'll notice a geometric form, the triangle, and this is explained in the outside margin under the heading Nosei Mivneh. The triangle is featured, Hesverim of Shimon Gamliel. These are explanations to explain the Tana of Shimon Gamliel, the Omar Dal Yedei Hachzoras Shtar Matona Lanosein Chozra Matanosa, by the mere return of the Shtar Matona, that in fact undoes the gift. So the Gemara continues, Omar Avasi Nase Keoimer Lo, it's as if the giver said, Sode Zu Nesunuloch Kozman Shashtar Biotcha, that this field is yours as long as this document is in your hands. Maskif lo rabo ihochi nignav o ova nami. If that be the case, if let us say the shtar, that this title were stolen or lost, would you say that the gift is also voided, that the gift is also reversed? Based on what Ravasi said, that would stand to reason that that's of course very unlikely to be true. Elo Omar Rabo. Rabo comes up with his explanation, and he will not only explain to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but also explain the Rabbonah that argue with him. As follows. Ba'osios niknois b'mesiro kamifugi. Osios is an expression referring to shtoros. Shtoros, are they acquired through mere mesiro, through mere handing over? Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, osios niknois b'mesiro. Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that the method of transferring ownership of a document is by simply handing it over, so that when the document is given from the giver to the receiver, that transfers ownership in that direction, and when the receiver of the gift gives back that document, that constitutes a return of it. Rabbonon savri ein oisios niknois b'mesira. The Rabbonon disagree and say that shtaros are not transacted through merely handing them over. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. The third wide line under the Tosfos, Rav Shimon Gamliel savar osios bein deshtori mekach ve dematona, whether it be purchase documents or gift documents, niknos lamekabel matona v'lalokeach b'mesiras hashtar. They are transferred to the receiver of the gift or to the purchaser through the handing over of the document. Klomar afopi shedvorim enom niknim. Even though, generally speaking, mere words are not acquired. Kevan diksuvim bishtar niknim im kabolas haklaf. Since the words are written down, they are transferred and transacted through the receipt of the paper. Vekevan shehichzir lo es hashtar chozer matonoso. And since the document is returned from the receiver of the gift to the original giver, that constitutes an undoing of the gift. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.